another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast. My name's Eric. With us, we got co-host Ray.
Hello.
And this is your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. We weren't really expecting this. At least I wasn't. And I said it last week's episode. I was like, okay, bring on the Warcry models and whatever, you know, latest Blood Bowl release. I was wrong. It was 100% wall-to-wall Warhammer 40,000 all weekend long at Games Workshop. And we have got all the new stuff to talk about. So let's dive right into it. Ray, what was the first thing they revealed?
One of the first things they revealed was, it was Mephiston, actually. They showed a picture of the model, which, I mean, everybody's already seen. But along with that, they announced the Mephiston City of Lights book, which you can see Rubric Marines on there. And I think it's going to end up being a lore book that's a bit of a segue between the two Psychic Awakening books, this one and the next one coming out, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. The more you look at this Mephiston model, it's just like, God, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool model all around. So, and he's just so powerful with all those extra attacks. It's going to be nasty to deal with. Other fun reveal, Aeronautical Imperialis. I have not yet met anyone who's played this game, but I loved Crimson Skies, and every now and then get drawn into X-Wing. So when they released it, it's a new kind of orc bomber, heavy bomber. So it looks kind of cool. Has some Grot-piloted torpedo bomb looking things, so it's pretty funny. So I'm sure this is a big deal if you play that game. As a 40K player, I went, oh, neat. Hope they don't make that for Forge World for the tabletop, and let's move on.
The next thing was for the Adeptus Mechanicus. I was laughing because I was just talking to one of the guys that we know here in the Valley that play this faction. They've released a flyer for Adeptus Mechanicus. They announced that it's going to be a multi-part kit. There is a version that is a gunship. There is a version that is a bomber. And there is a version that is a transport. All that in one go. And I loved the look of it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's got like mechanical bat wings, like almost like How to Train Your Dragon type wings and tail. But the bottom is, how do I describe that? Almost like a World War II bomber, kind of like. So, or kind of like a...
It's kind of got, it's almost got kind of like a Jules Verne meets Leonardo da Vinci look.
Yeah, it does. It looks also a little bit like a Russian Hind attack chopper from the 80s there. That's looks a little bit with bat wings. So it definitely has a Jules Verne's probably the best way to describe it. It's pretty cool. Not sure how this is all going to play out, but I could see this being quite meta changing because right now, you know, your typical AdMech player's got three Scorpius disintegrators, the tank version, and then usually three transports. And then they just take a bunch of these so they get a nice long range threat and then fill out the rest with Skatari and, odd. Electro Priest squad to hold objectives. It could be pretty nasty. So
also, I can't help but notice that the part that holds the model above the ground is different. It's not the old like T-shaped that we're used to.
No, it is not. It looks almost like the Primaris Marines guys, like their jump packs. Yeah.
So I wonder if we're going to be seeing a lot of stuff like that from now on, which I don't know how I feel about that. I got to be honest, I kind of like the whole setup when it came to the flyers because it slid in. You didn't have to glue it. All that fun. This, I'd probably have to magnetize.
Yeah, you probably would. Even just for transport. So, yeah. Next thing revealed was your favorite Nuns with Guns have some of their old models redone in plastic, but they got a brand new model, and this one I previewed on our Facebook page earlier during the week. Let's first of all talk about the redo, the remix. It's actually one of my favorite units. It's probably my second or third favorite unit in all of 40K. And those are the Sister Repentias. So these are the wacky girls with the large chainsaws. So they're running around with no armor, armed only with their faith and a luring garden tool. I'm sure there's more to their background than that, but these things used to be like either completely OP or completely useless, depending on what edition you played. So I'm hoping they kind of do something in between, because they were really cool and these new models look really neat. In addition to that, we have the Triumph of St. Catherine. And basically describe this, imagine like a New Orleans funeral coming at you, carried by a whole bunch of battle sisters. They're literally carrying the corpse. They actually have about four or five chirrups helping carrying this thing. And then they have like even a little bit of stairwell on the base and stuff. So it's kind of like that old Bretonian, I forgot the name of the knight, but there was a whole bunch of peasants that carried the dead knight into combat. And because of that, they were fearless and they're a really sticky unit. They really stunk because they would hit you right in the center of your lines and you couldn't, and they had too many wounds to kill it right away. So I'm not sure what this thing does, but it's pretty crazy looking. There's a whole lot of detail. I first saw it was a diorama when I first saw it.
Yeah, me too.
I know they teased a little bit of their of the stats, but it's pretty wild. So I was just, okay then, what is that? So that brings us to the big reveal, which Ray alluded to a little bit earlier.
So we did a short teaser video for the next Psychic Awakening. It is titled The Ritual of the Damned, and this has three factions that are going to be in it. It is Thousand Sons, the Grey Knights, and the Dark Angels. Now, along with that, they actually admitted that they already had the names for two others that would be following, which were The Greater Good and Saga of the Beast. They said each book will be accompanied by an epic champion to lead the charge, and it would... These legendary heroes will include reborn, reimagined, and brand new characters. So we might see, you know, some new models, previously done, heroic champions like chapter masters or maybe grandmasters or whatnot. But there still can be new ones too, so that's pretty nice. It's not just going to be, oh hey look, there's another Space Marines chapter. They must be getting a Primaris character. Not necessarily going to be the case.
So the good news is the Emperor saw a shadow and get three more months of Psychic Awakenings. There's all kinds of theory. So we're going to play a little game here with Ray. It's called buy it or sell it. So buy it means that's a great idea. Sell it, there's no way in heck are they going to do that. So for the first one, Ritual of Damned, you mentioned that they have Thousand Sons, Dark Angels, and Grey Knights. So the first one is Grey Knights get the Primaris treatment. Buying or selling?
Selling.
Don't think it's going to happen? It's not their their shtick?
If they're going to do it, they're not going to do it yet.
Okay. Second one, Psychic Awakening Ritual of the Damned, because it's for Dark Angels, will include the return of Lionel Johnson.
I'd like to say I buy it, but more likely sell.
Okay. And then the last one, of course, is Samael becoming the Primaris version of himself.
I'm going to say sell it. Honestly, really? I think if we're going to, yeah, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
I think if we're going to see a Dark Angels character become a Primaris, it's going to be their Chapter Master, because I want to say that model is the oldest one they have.
In the world. Okay, then. Interesting there. So the second book is, of course, Greater Good. So we're assuming it's going to be Tau. Pretty buy or sell on that one.
Somebody. Bye.
So I think the biggest thing is, okay, by process of elimination, so let's go before we know Saga of the Beast is probably orcs. Who's left? Who do you think, who's the adversary for the greater good at this point?
So I'm iffy on about it actually being the orcs. And honestly, I say that because everybody always like, oh, the beast, it must be orcs. Not necessarily. I think if anything, it's going to involve the Space Wolves, because them and their sagas.
Ah.
I could see it, Saga of the Beast actually being Space Wolves and Demons.
Now that is an interesting twist. Yeah.
Because I gotta be honest, the only other faction I would really expect to see going up against demons is Grey Knights. And we're seeing them with the Thousand Sons. So
right.
I will say if I'm right and it does heavily lean towards demons, then I could see us having another Demon Primarch come out then, if we're going to see another Demon Primarch in the next 12 months.
Right. Interesting. So I was all on Saga of the Beast as orcs. So we're going to see Ghazghoul, you know, brand new, the Primaris size Ghazghoul, not Primaris size, Primarch size. So I'm trying to say.
So I want to remind people that anybody who's paying attention, I don't remember the actual source, but they said, I can remember, is they said that Psychic Awakening would end sometime in June. And we're seeing these books come out about once a month. So what we have here is we've been just seen January, February, and Marches. That means there's still three more to come. We've seen that they're not necessarily only going to do two factions in one of these, even though the first three technically kind of have only two. I mean, you can argue the whole little bit of Yennari in the first one, but it's the second one really was just stuff for Space Marines and Chaos Space Marines. And then the third one coming out this Saturday is, of course, Blood Angels and Tyranids. So two factions again. But this next one is in fact, three factions.
So it's funny, just two things you said there just kind of have been kind of glossed over a little bit by the internet. One, I was shocked to see that Necrons were in this, you know, the typical Necron Blood Angel team up against the Tyranids. That doesn't seem to be happening anymore. But the other thing was, oh yeah, there's that second book, which, you know, Faith and Fury has a little bit of chaos in it. Yeah, it does not turn the Chaos Space Marine Codex into what the current Space Marines are. There's definitely no doctrines or anything, but there's some interesting stuff in there that's going to shake things up. And so don't snooze on Faith and Fury. Especially that some of that chaos stuff with the point changes that came out with Chapter Approved, you could be seeing some neat stuff out there. So
yeah.
All right. So the next item that they came out with was very near and dear to my heart. I've been waiting for this. I'm still waiting for this, but I was surprised because I thought we were only going to get a preview of one of these. And turns out there's four of them. And that is none other than not one, not two, but four Warhammer 40,000 themed animation shows. So still don't know what platform they're going to be on. Is this a Netflix thing? Is this only through their website, only via DVD? What's some sort of PayPal type thing? Who knows? But of course, I was expecting just Angels of Death. And turns out they have four cartoons coming out. Not sure on the other names, but the four ones that they're coming out with. So Angels of Death, each of the four look completely different. It's going to be real fun to describe this on radio. So Angels of Death has a very, very much like the preview videos we've been seeing. It's mostly black and white with splashes of red and very CGI, but very photorealistic and very dour. So it looks definitely, this is for the big kids version. And then the second one is actually cool because I've actually been reading this with my son. The whole Warhammer Adventures, you know, the kiddie books that they just came out with. They have a cartoon version of that, of the second book, one with the Necrons in it, which is actually one we're reading. And it's actually not half bad. Not so much. It is. He's actually reading it. And it's part of bedtime. But the interesting thing about that story, it kind of tells the side of what's it like to be an Imperial citizen as it's being attacked by the Necrons. And yeah, the Marines show up, but they're just there to kill and take care of the Necrons. There's no, like, you know, it's pretty much get out of the city before you can. It's pretty chaotic. And there's that whole, you know, the citizens are trying to get out, and then the gangs from they have like a Necromunda style gang that lives underneath this city. They're trying to escape at the same time. And you know that, you know, you don't belong here. You deserve to die. It's very interesting. The classism that they've managed to mix into this. But if you just, all you have to do is the book cover, the animation looks exactly like that. So it's very colorful, softer lines. So it looks very different than Angels of Death. We got a third one, which they did not give a title for. It looks very much like a story about an assassin, like an Imperial assassin. And okay. Very much a little more comic book feel to it for an animation style. A little, not quite as much color as the kiddie one, but more color than the Blood Angel version. So I'm curious what that's about. It reminded me a lot of the old 90s cartoon Aeon Flux a little bit. You know, the style and shape of it. So there was a fourth one. It was really hard to see, so I really couldn't tell you a whole lot about it. But there's a nifty trailer of all four of them on the community website. So it was pretty cool. And it's for those of you who, like me, who spent big money on the Ultramarines movie a couple of years ago. Yeah, it looks better than that. God, that was so flustered.
And the first full trailer for Angels of Death will be at the Las Vegas Open Warhammer preview. And of course, they'll put it on the community page.
And of course, we will be there. So I'll have to tell you all about it. So yeah, it was unbelievable how bad that Ultramarines movie was. Oh, it was so disappointing.
You know, I can't help but laugh. So the first time I watched that, I was just getting into the mm-hmm. hobby. And of course, you remember when I was just getting into the hobby, I was building Necrons. I didn't know anything about Space Marines, so I'm watching this movie, and I had no idea that, you know, chaplains weren't supposed to have psychic abilities. I didn't know how wrong it was until I really started learning the fluff of the Space Marines. And that's when I learned just how off that movie really was.
Yeah, it was so disappointing. I mean, the biggest thing is knowing the pedigree going in. You've got Aaron Dembski-Bowden working with the animation team behind Bionicle. I mean, this should have been winning a can. And, and you know, Bionicle at that time was really good. You know, they're really good with atmospherics, and they did a nice job with it. But then they spent all this money, if you watch the behind the scenes, on this weird motion capture system. So they can grab the actor's facial expressions as he's reading the lines. And I'm going, they're Space Marines. They wear helmets. Who cares? So.
Actually, one of the things I hated most about it, I got to be honest, was that they made everybody look like old men.
Yeah, they're all old British people. Maybe, yeah, I think they took their 10,000 years old a little too literally. So.
Yeah. And it was more than anything else, it was disappointing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, come on.
And they were fighting, was it Black Legion? I'm trying to remember.
Kind of. The big bad was the Demon Prince.
Right, which was funny because they pushed him out of a window. I was like, what?
Pushed him out of the window. And I mean, of course he came back because that's not going to. No, my biggest problem with that is how the demons just whisper talking the whole, like half the time. Oh my God, that's annoying.
That's funny. I didn't even think of that. I just felt that I didn't like how the, you know, you think of Chaos Space Marines, you think of the, you know, the champions, aspiring champions. They're at that time, the challenge mechanic was, you know, a big part of the game. So you're thinking, you know, they're always like, they're like tripping over each other to prove themselves in the eye of the gods and all that. And instead they made the Black Legion this faceless, nondescript chapter with the Demon Prince.
They acted like corn berserkers.
Yeah. So it was, so. Anyway, neat twist at the end, but by that point, you were so disinvested by the movie. You're like, okay, whatever. Anyway, so yeah, all these look a lot better than that. So we're very excited to see what happens when those all come out. So lots of news. So wait a minute, you guys are a competitive podcast. What does this have to do with competition? Well, we got some new units. We've got some news of new rules coming down. And then to add to it, just about anybody and everybody who gets a preview copy of Chapter Approved has already slapped up their preview. What do they have to say? We'll tell you that right after the break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
All right, welcome back after the break there. A couple things to look over. We've got some more information from Blood of Baal. So we've already talked a little bit last week from the preview of what Blood Angels bring to the table, and specifically their own little chapter, super doctor, whatever you want to call it, Savage Echoes, which gives them additional attack on the charge, if they're charged, heroic intervention, all those fun little mechanics in the charge phase. So it's above and beyond everything they already get from Shock Assault, and then you add in all the other fun stuff. It's especially some of their characters, it really just balloons up. And then first got a good look at some of the stratagems that are involved in there. So Blood of Baal comes with 23 stratagems to play with. So right off the bat, the first one, Duty Eternal. It's one command point. Put that on a dreadnought and he takes half damage. Anytime you can take half damage is pretty good, but especially with the Dreadnought, because you know you're going to be being hit with the high output, high damage weapons, you know, whereas opposed to a character, you may make it like bolted down to death with lots of one damage attacks. So the half damage doesn't mean too much, say like on Urien has that. But on the Dread, that's pretty handy because you're going to be seeing Laz Gunfire. You can see Melt a Gunfire, and just cutting that in half makes it really extend the lifetime of your Dreadnoughts. Right, what was the second one they came out with?
The second one mentioned is Veteran Intercessors, which is either 1 or 2 CP. And it gives 1 unit of Intercessors, plus 1 attack, and plus 1 leadership. It's, I guess it's 1 CP for a unit of 5, 2 CP for a unit of 6 or more.
First time we've seen that mechanic. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, and that can be kind of fun because, as far as I know, there's nothing saying you can't do that with Death Company Intercessors because they didn't have enough tax to begin with. Give them more.
I just think it's pretty cool. The whole veteran thing is extending beyond the Vigilus book, so pretty cool to see that. Masterful Marksmanship, also 1 CP, plus 1 the wound with special issue bolt guns when shooting with Blood Angel Stern Guard veterans. Be honest with you, I had to do a double take. Stern Guard veterans still in the game? I had no idea. I thought they...
Yeah, they are.
I thought they all became Death Watch. So, I don't know. If you're a fan of Stern Guard, I guess this is pretty cool. Any plus one the wound is always popular, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, you don't really see Stern Guard too often. The next one is Fury of the First. It's 1 CP to give a single unit of Terminators plus 1 to hit in any phase. Now, as rare as you see Stern as it is to see Stern Guard, I think it's even rarer to see Terminators, at least for Loyalist Marines.
Yeah, you're definitely going to see World Eater Terminators.
It's not bad in and of itself, especially if you're running Terminators that all have Power Fists. You pretty much, you know, it'll negate their negative 1 hit.
Yeah, but again, this is one of those, kind of like how we talked about last week. You're at the Oprah show, everybody's getting a car, and you're getting like a... you know, a crock pot. You're like, oh, crock pot's nice and all, but everybody else got cars. So put this in perspective. Chaos has one. I believe it's 1 CP, and you get plus 1 the wound, and then you slap this on a bunch of Terminators. So all of a sudden, they're coming in and just wrecking face. Most people are saying you put it on a corn, so they fight twice. And they come in with all, you know, chain axes and power fists and chain fists and chain axes and whatever else they can, however else you can word the word fist and chain and mix it together. So, but you know, it's a pretty potent, you know, 1 unit of Terminators can take out an entire knight. I don't know if these guys could do the same thing, but okay. Hunter Slayer missiles for 1 CP lets you single shooting attack from a repulsor at any enemy vehicle or monster within 40 inches that isn't in melee. If the attack hits, unit takes D3 mortal wounds. Can only each repulsor can only use this once per game. Kind of cool throwback to the old Hunter Killer missiles, so I'm okay with that. So pretty cool.
The one after that is Rapid Fire. For 2 CP, you can have a unit of Intercessors get Rapid Fire 2 bolt rifles. Useful if you've got a lot of to shoot at.
I actually think this is quite versatile, actually, because you can do that. You've got one big, they talk about here, where we're getting our information from, the way of thinning hordes, but I think you hit on the head. If you've got lots of targets and you're like, if I split up my fire, it's not going to work. Suddenly that 10-man squad is firing 10 shots in each direction. So at 2 different targets. It's not bad.
Yeah. If you're looking for a way to basically turn 1 unit of Intercessors into 2 for a turn, this is your way to do it.
Not bad. I think it's a Swiss Army knife. I don't think it's, again, not a game-winning strategy, but it's one of those that can set you up for a game-winning move. So I think it's pretty cool. Big Guns Never Tire. Basically, all heavy support count as objective superior. No, I'm kidding. It's not what it does. It's 1 CP. 1 vehicle ignores the penalty for moving and firing with heavy weapons. Always handy. So...
yes.
I was surprised that I haven't seen anything about the... wasn't the Blood Angels the one that had like the souped-up engines so all their vehicles were a little faster? I know they had the deep...
I think so. But I don't think that's...
I don't think so either. That kept... and the deep-striking Land Raider. That had to go away. So this next one looks pretty cool.
You're talking about Visage of the Damned? That's 1 CP, 1 unit with the Death Mask ability receives minus 1 to hit in melee. Now... the only thing I can remember having Death Mask ability.
Okay, I was just about to ask you. I'm not sure which units have Death Mask, so I'm assuming it's a couple characters and one or two units, so it's only Sanguinary Guard. Oh, all right. Then again, it is a unit you want to keep alive because things are expensive.
Not as expensive as they used to be, but still quite expensive. It's a jump pack. They're a jump pack unit, so yeah, they're kind of one of those things that's going to end up getting shot at a lot because people don't want them to come in into close combat. So having that minus one is helpful because they're going to be more of a target than the guys you have sitting in the back.
Man, bring up a good point there. All right. Next one is Hero of the Chapter for 1 CP. You can give a Blood Angels character a Warlord trait. Always cool. I love the whole how many Warlord traits can one army get without getting more than one Warlord. It's pretty handy. But sometimes, yeah, the pairing them up works out really well. I know I loved it with my last list. Having two Warlord traits was essential, so that's pretty cool. This one, pairing with one we just read, looks like it could be interesting, though.
Transhuman Physiology. It's 2 CP. One Blood Angels unit that isn't a vehicle or a servitor can only be wounded on a 4+ regardless of modifiers. Yeah, that's pretty useful.
So let's go back to your Sanguinary Guard. You're going to come smacking in them with your Thunder, your Aberrants with all their heavy weapons. You're like, nope, you still only wound me on 4s. Sorry. Oh, yeah, you're also minus one to hit. Yeah, that could keep that unit alive for a pretty long time. And this one is any Blood Angels unit, so it's not just infantry. Ouch.
As long as it just cannot be a vehicle or a servitor.
Okay, so it's going to rule out dreadnoughts. No dreads, no tanks. Trying to think. Well, I mean, you could put it on their bike unit, too. If they still have bikes in this thing. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Bike. A lot of options. You can kind of, wherever you need it, just sprinkle it in there to keep guys on objectives. That worked pretty well. Vengeance of the Machine Spirit for 2 CP. One Repulsor, Land Raider, or Storm Raven gunship could do one of the following. Automatically explode. That's awesome. That alone I've already got. It's already awesome. It can also shoot with one of its ranged weapons or fight as if it were the fight phase. The automatic explosion, yeah, can obviously be useful, especially when the aforementioned assault unit like a Aberrant's Muscle Beach list is surrounding your repulsor and just let's kind of take it out. Spread some of that mortal love wound love. So next one is, yeah, that looks pretty cool.
Right, the next one is Refusal to Die. For 1 CP, you give a unit of Death Company 5+ Feel No Pain.
Huh.
It's kind of useful. You definitely see it being useful for like Death Company Intercessors, just to kind of help avoid losing them. Because if you're running up with them, they're not as fast as the jump pack, so it'll take them a little bit longer to get into combat. Or just useful in general, because if you've got the regular Death Company coming at you, you kind of want to kill them before they come charging in with all those attacks.
Yeah, no kidding. It's just one more thing for them to be able to slough off more wounds. Because they're going to draw a lot of fire. So for some reason, I thought had Feel No Pain. I don't know why.
I think I want to say that they used to. If they do now, it's probably okay. a 6+.
So. Yeah, still, one out of three is going to survive. So that's pretty cool. Next one, Steady Advance. It's pretty situational. 1 CP, one Blood Angels infantry unit counts as holding still for purposes of bolter discipline. So, I'd like to read the whole thing more carefully if I can actually get the... Because I'm wondering if you could still advance and still do this.
Just for the purposes of bolter
discipline. So, either way.
So, it's one of those things where it's useful for... Because you remember, bolter rifles, which are range 30, are rapid fire. So if a Marine doesn't move, he's got rapid fire full range.
Right. If he doesn't move, it's rapid fire full 24 inches. Yep. And always has rapid fire at 12 inches, even if you moved your shot. So
yeah,
not bad.
So what that means is you can actually move them and still shoot as if they had.
I think I'd probably lean more towards the auto bolt rifle variant, which I think is Assault 3. Is that correct?
No, it is not Assault 3.
To the mystical tablet of knowledge we go. You've always gone too far.
Ah, okay. The auto bolt rifle.
Okay.
It's Assault 2. Not
too far off then. Remember it being fairly...
But you couldn't use that there.
No, that's what I'm saying. I would rather rely on this stratagem is what I'm trying to say. If I was hell-bent to be mobile. Now, on the other hand, you know, turn five, and I need to get these guys on an objective, and I need to be able to clear it. Like, I've already used the other stratagem to get multiple shots off. This is all I got left. It's not bad.
Well, the next one is actually honored by ball, which is
it is assault three.
One CP.
Auto bolt rifle. It's interesting. The brand new.
What are you looking at? Dude, that's my problem. I was looking at the Blood Angels. Ah,
that's interesting.
That was the first
one
for me.
I wonder if they have to correct that. Rules quandary.
Or they could have checked. I think they changed. They made some changes to some of the weapons, though. So.
The stalker. What's the stalker bolt rifle profile in the Blood Angels Codex?
Heavy 1/4. Yeah, so minus it's still two,
the old one because the nether now 2 damage. Okay. Curious to see if they update that. That would make Blood Angels. Yeah.
Oh, I guarantee they will. They will, because that'll be in the bottom.
All right. So steady advance. Your results might vary.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Anyway, so the next stratagem is honored by ball. It's 1 CP that lets a Blood Angels successor chapter take a Blood Angels relic. Because, unfortunately, at least as of right now, if you're doing some sort of a successor chapter, you're saying you're not going to use relics unless you pay for a CP. Because only Flesh Terrors actually have any kind of relics outside of Blood Angels right now.
And that's kind of put this in perspective. I had this cool list. I was all excited to play, and then I realized, oh yeah, I'll just put the Vexor mask on my homunculus. And I realized, oh, I'm not Prophets of Flesh anymore. I can't do that. So I had to splinter off just enough to make a patrol so I could get this one homunculus with the Vexor mask so I could get that relic. I was like, this is so annoying. And that costed me, because now I have 2 covens detachments. I was like, I don't have enough to do the Archon, which doesn't give me the extra warlord traits. So now I'm like going back and forth if that's a smart move or not. But so, yeah, I would kill for my army to have that stratagem. That's pretty awesome. All right, next one. Hammer of Wrath. 1 CP uses Blood Angels jump pack unit. When it finishes a charge, roll a d6 for every model in the charging unit and inflict a mortal wound on the unit you charged on a 5+. You're seeing a lot more of this than a lot of other stuff we saw this for in Psychic Awakenings in the first book, in the Phoenix Rising book. Very cool. I love it. So, especially with if you can get like larger units, you know, you think about even a unit of 12, you're going to get, well, 1-6 would be 2, so that's 4 mortal wounds on average before you even swing. It's pretty sweet.
All right, the one after that is Death on the Wind. 1 CP, 1 Sanguinary Guard unit treats all their damage results of 1 as 2 instead.
Don't like that. It's pretty self-explanatory there. Yeah.
So that could be pretty useful.
Yeah. Target sighted, 3 CP, lets a unit of intercessors snipe an enemy character if they have stalker pattern bolt rifles. I don't know. I think you have enough other options if you're going to get all the Phobos stuff in the next book. Not sure why you're sniping characters with your intercessors, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, you're better. This is kind of one of those things where the only reason I could see you doing it is if for one reason or another you can't get your hands on any eliminators. Now, they are pretty hard to get. It seems like they're constantly sold out. So if you're stuck somewhere where you have to use the armies that you actually have and you'd like to be able to snipe, it's something to do. But the moment you can get eliminators and have eliminators on the board, that's what... This is something I think a little bit more for the people who like to play more to the fluff, where they'll bring a chapter. A chapter is company. And since eliminators are part of what is considered the 10th company, they wouldn't, for fluff reasons, they wouldn't bring it. They'd use this instead. That's the only reason I could really see this getting used.
I guess, yeah. That the only thing I can think too is eliminators are usually, I see a lot of players deploy them too far forward. So they just get mulched. And then so like, oops, I guess I lost them. So let me use my backup plan.
Yeah. So the next one is Unbridled Ardor. It's 1 CP, and this allows 1 Blood Angels infantry unit to perform a heroic intervention as if they were a character. And they may perform this if there is an enemy unit within 6 inches instead of 3, and they move 6 inches instead of 3.
Yeah, I had to read this like 3 or 4 times because everybody was talking about it. I was like, what's the big deal? It's just a 6-inch heroic intervention. And then I didn't realize you're playing this on a non-character unit. It's any infantry model. So at first, like, okay, I guess my intercessors will be a little more effective on that. And I'm thinking, no, the Death Company and Sanguinary Guard, and, all these attacks piling in that 6 inches, and especially if you're very good with the assault move, you're starting to really smack heads. Now, one thing to just be careful with, though, is a lot of people go, well, I can charge over people, but it's very specifically that the fly keyword does not affect that pylon move, so you still have to need to be around the screen by that point, but just really awesome. It's just really cool.
Yeah, and I see Blood Angels is really focusing on either the Death Company or the Sanguinary Guard, or maybe both, and only ever having like a very minimal squad of things like intercessors or other troop units. I think they're going to soak a lot of their points into their jump
right
units like the Death Company.
Next one's Adaptive Strategy, 1 CP. Basically, what are we doing here? It took me a minute to figure that out. Okay, so instead of going in Devastator Tactical Assault Doctrines, you can go back one. So, interesting. So it probably makes sense to jump back and forth between Assault and Tactical, but what do I know? So I don't know. Kind of interesting. I have to think about that one. When's the best time to use it? That's one of those that it probably is super powerful, and to, lesser talented players are going to be like completely hamstrung. Now? Do I do it now? How about now? I'll do it now. No? Later? Now? No. Anyway. What's the next one, Ray?
This is Boltstorm for 2 CP. It makes a unit of intercessors equipped with auto bolt rifles automatically hit.
The old vigilous standby here. Good stuff. I like that auto bolt rifle. I don't know why. Especially now it's Assault 3. Well, it is for Space Marines. We're not sure what they're going to do with Blood Angels.
It will be. So this is nice, but I think the only time I'd use this is if I was actually running Death Company intercessors, because I'd see me using that more often. I don't know how often I'd use intercessors right. that aren't and use them as troops. So not having to worry about hitting is just perfect. It's just, they advanced and now they're going to automatically hit you.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Take it.
Next one, Explosive Judgment for 1 CP. Your Sanguinary Guard get to reroll to wounds, which is already pretty good. This is with their Angulus bolt guns, but also they get ignore cover with those said bolt guns. So always handy when you really need to take down a tougher opponent. So pretty cool.
The one after that is Gene Rot Might for 1 CP. One Primaris Infantry unit turns all unmodified hit rolls of 6+ into a wound. So 6 is automatically wound.
Again, anytime you can bypass a die roll for an automatic result, it's always good. Fishing for 6s, though, I guess the Primaris Marines are going to be 2 attacks base, +1 for being a Blood Angel, and then +1 for Shock Assault. So that's 4. So that's 20. Yeah, you're going to get about 3. Yeah. You're looking 25. At between 3 and 4 on the charge. That's not bad. Yeah, that's pretty good. Chalice Overflowing. 1 CP allows a Sanguinary Priest to use his... Help me out here, Ray. What is this? Narthecarium? What's it called?
Narthecium.
Yeah, his Hispanic ability twice. That's always cool. I like it. especially because my medic ability got nerfed on my army. What the heck? So you get to do it twice. Of course, you're Space Marines. Awesome. Anyway, anything leap out at you from the relics that they got?
Yeah. Well, there was a relic that really stuck out to me, but I gotta be honest, it wasn't the really? Blood Angel one.
I think the one that kind of...
So the one that interested me the most is it's called Sorrow's Genesis. So Flesh Terrors. It's an upgraded Narthecium that always heals 3 wounds or picks up a dead model on a 2+ with 3 wounds.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Again, jealous of that as well. It's a quick looking. There is
so what stuck out to
the
you?
Name of it. Let's get the nice fluffy name. Has to do with the dreadnoughts. Biomantic Sarcophagus. Librarian Dreadnought gets an additional 6 inches. Range on any of his powers, and he gets to reroll 1 die per turn on a psychic test. So not quite as awesome as a Farseer when it comes to the reroll part, but that 6-inch range, I know it's going to sneak up on players. I know it's going to sneak up on me. Just when you think, I'm good, 18-inch smite range, nope, I'm actually 24. So just those little things there helps with the advance. I think that'll really sneak up on people and cause some feel bad moments in the future. But anyway, those I thought were pretty cool. Don't snooze on the Mastercrafted weapon, by the way. I hear a lot of competitive players talking about throwing that on their Thunderhammers. So now you got damage for Thunderhammers. And the significance of that is you're still going to see Smash Captains, not so much killing knights anymore, but with the other Space Marine chapters, you're seeing a ton of aggressors. Not aggressors, what the heck are they called? Not Contemptors. The Space Marine inside a Space Marine. Centurions.
You got all of me out here.
Assault Centurions went up to 4 wounds, which I was like, oh, man. So basically this guy can, you know, your Smash Captain now can delete one Centurion per swing. So, or per wound, actually. You can get multiple swings. So that's probably why you want to see that a lot more often. And then just a quick touch on the Flesh Terrors. They're a little bit different than the Blood Angels. I thought that was kind of cool.
Just a little bit. Yeah, they're kind of separating them, but not really. They've got their own little version of the Red Thirst. It's called Fury Within. It's still the +1 to Wound, but instead of a +1 to Advance and Charge, they get the bonus of increasing their AP, the melee strike, by 1 on a natural Rune Roll of a 6.
So, hopefully, you know, Weight of Fire definitely will add up. So it's pretty cool stuff.
And they get 3 unique Warlord traits, 2 relics, and 2 strategies.
Which for a, add-on, chapter. That's pretty cool. So, of course, every hero needs a villain to fight. And also included in the Blood of Baal, we've got the Tyranids. And right off the bat, the Tyranids get Make Your Own High Fleet. Pick 2 of these and call me in the morning. And there's definitely a lot to talk about. This makes them turn it's very interesting all of a sudden. So,
yeah, I was looking over this on the weekend, and the old list I had would I already saw was like, oh, yeah. I'll pick that one and that one, and my old list would be great. So
that first one, Biometallic Cysts, improve the AP for all Scything Talons by 1. So at first, like, Scything Talons, but then you realize, every Hormagaunt and every has one of those. Now you've got like hordes of Hormagaunt now with a -1 to attack. Starts adding up pretty quick.
Well, yeah, because those Hormagaunts cost almost nothing. You got a squad of 30 and you're still paying less than your average 5-man squad of.
Oh, yeah. And then you also got to remember you're going to be probably maxed out squads. You're going to extend them out from a synapse creature so they're fearless. And then if you do kill something, you can then use Onslaught. You can either fall back 7 inches, you can lurch forward and take 7 inches to take out another unit, to wrap something. So the added -1, and by the way, that can be further augmented. We'll talk about that in a second. It just adds to it. It's really awesome. So, all right, what's the next one? I'm sorry, it's the overrun strategy. Metabolic everybody's screaming at me right now. So,
so the Hypermetabolic Acceleration, which is re-roll your advance roll. You don't have to worry about a CP to do it.
Yeah, and you don't have to be cracking.
Re-roll your advance.
Pretty nice. Metamorphic Regrowth at the start of your turn. Every model with this adaptation regains a lost wound. At first, you're like, well, a lot of models have regeneration. Yet every model in your army. Now, granted, the 1-wound models don't benefit from this, but if you're playing like a Godzilla or a Kaiju type list, this is pretty cool.
Even if your troop choice of
nice
troop choice of choice,
yeah, 3 wounds
warriors,
fancy for gangbusters, but yeah, that would make them pretty powerful.
The one after that is Pack Hunters. This improves the AP of a melee weapon by 1 when attacking a unit with less models than in your attacking unit, and it stacks with Biometallic Cysts. So that 30-man squad of Hormagaunts I mentioned, they're not you charge with them and. They're not attacking with AP -1 Scything Talons. They're attacking with AP -2
Scything Talons. That starts to add up. So now your Marines are dying on 5s instead of 4s, which were originally 3s. And you're reaching out and hurting people. So that basically you're killing 33% more per turn with your cheapest objective secured units. Pretty cool. Prey Sight. +1 to hit rolls for monster units when they charge, our charge, or heroic intervene. So they talk about using it on Carnifexes. I guess you can use it on Trigons to keep them going. And because they do reroll ones. If the Hive Tyrants get beat up, you know, you can bring them back down to hitting on twos. So, yeah, not bad. I think the key is, you know, having the right army around it. I don't know. It's okay. Didn't speak to me.
So the next one is Senses of the Outer Dark, which is a 4+ feel no pain style save against wounds taken in Overwatch. This one is really situational, but same time, you don't really see a 4+ feel no pain.
Four plus feel no pain in many editions, so that's pretty cool. Again, situational for that Overwatch. I know several people in our group just completely discounted this, so I don't know, because you're going to be getting through a lot of shooting, so saving half your guys, I guess, is better than nothing. So, but I don't know if I would take it to, you know, like I said, very situational. So adaptive physiology, which originally when I saw this in the preview, I was like, oh, okay, Tyranid doctrines. Okay, big deal. Not at all. It's not at all. This is actually a neat mechanic. Instead of taking a warlord for a Tyranid character, you can choose to give an adaptive physiology to either an enemy, to an infantry enemy unit. Yeah, give more stuff to the enemies, to an infantry unit or a monster unit. So you can give them this stuff. And by the way, there is a CP if you want to do this more than once. So bad news is you lose that on a warlord trait, but then an entire unit can benefit from all kinds of stuff, which is kind of cool. So for example, they have the enhanced resistance. So any AP minus one or AP minus two weapon counts as AP zero. I mean, yeah, most times you're only doing, you know, Tyranids don't have the thickest armor, but at least you're getting a save almost every time. It's almost like an invul save against everything but like las cannons and melt.
The one after that is dynamic camouflage, which kind of like what it says. Basically, if the unit's in cover, you add two to the saving throw instead of one. Very situational, but very useful in those situations.
So those are both for infantry's units. Next ones are for your kaiju here. So they're bigger stuff. This one is interesting because they have a nice little fluff tie-in or lore back in, and that is the synaptic enhancement. So basically one of your monster units gains Shadow in the Warp and Synapse. And of course, have the Synapse keyword, so they become a synapse creature. So all of a sudden, they, you know, of course, everybody thinks, okay, what's the biggest, baddest bug I can put this on? But it's interesting, I guess, in the background is that the Cicatrix Reticulum, I didn't think I said that right. Anyway,
the Cicatrix Maledictum
is also messing with the High Fleet's ability to communicate with certain fleets. So this is the way the Tyranids have kind of adapted to keep their fleets together until they can get back into contact. It's kind of like losing Wi-Fi. It kind of sucks. So, but it's interesting how they worked it into the fiction. So I'd have to go through it again. I always felt the synapse range was too large. So it was always like, when is a monster, what does a Tyranid player ever add a synapse creed and synapse range? But it could be a neat little extra ability.
The one after that is Dermic Symbiosis. And it gives the model a 5+ invuln save. And if it has a damage table, it's considered to have double the number of abilities remaining.
Bonkers. I saw that. I was like, oh, you gotta be. I basically hawk shrouded a Trigon. I'm like, oh man. Yeah,
that can be pretty crazy because to get the first notch on that damage table, it's in almost every instance half their. So to be able to do that, you basically have to get it all the way down to that last notch for it to even count as being in the notch in the middle. So if you've got just for the sake of argument, if you've got 10 wounds. No, 10 wounds would be, that doesn't even count. So like 20, the first, you know, that top tier would be the first 10 wounds. And then that last tier would be like 1-4. Well, you'd have to get them down to 4 wounds before they'd even get to that middle notch.
Oh, yeah, I've read it just a ton of times with knights, and it's just so frustrating. And on top of it, you're just pounding wounds on them. They're like, are they ever going down? It says, nope. You know, because by the time they get to that, you know, double it, they're still in that top tier. It's like, oh my gosh. So, it's just brutal. Let's see if I'm trying to find my favorite bug. Let's go ahead and play it on here. Give me a second. No. Oh, where'd you go? This is what editing's for. And I got to plug in my computer. It's about ready to die. Do it on the break.
Sounds like a good idea.
Where are you, Raveners? So, for example, my favorite Tyranid is the Tyrannofex. So right off the bat, I love these things. It's the bio tank. So if it doesn't move, it shoots twice. Got the big old rupture cannon to take out heavy targets, maybe even a flesh borer hive to move things around. It's got 14 wounds. So normally if you get it down to 7 wounds, you tier it. No, not at all. You would have to get it down to 3 wounds before it even sees any degradation. And then when it takes a second, it gets it down to 2 wounds, then it's finally on the bottom tier. That's how powerful this is. So you went from 8 wounds, and I've had to inflict like 6 wounds on this thing to make it pretty ineffective, because it's a ballistic skill 5. Now you have to get it all the way down 10 wounds on this stupid thing. And then, by the way, take on that other high fleet adaptation where it's always healing every turn. Oh, that'd just be sick. So, and it's an instinctual beast, so all really cool. I think it'd be pretty nasty. So need to get some more artifacts, a couple more stratagems. Anything jump out to you at all?
Yeah. The arachnocyte gland, which allows you to roll always an additional awesome. D6 when you charge.
Statistically, you're just always going to be like, you know, 4s and higher. So very, very handy. We kept bringing back to the whole Harmagaunts, you know, the -1/-2 AP. There are stratagems that can further boost that, by the way, including Feral Instincts for 1 CP. And I believe there's another one. It's just like, are you kidding? Aggressive Adaption. When you destroy an enemy unit in the fight phase, improve the AP of all melee weapons for that unit that did the killing by 1 for the rest of the battle. Now, you can only do that once per unit, but, you know, you're going to be killing with lots of units. You should, this one dies in this, and be smart about it in your, especially if you're doing ITC, that kill one, kill more strategy. You don't want to kill everything on turn one, so you have easy targets during the game. So play a stratagem here, play a stratagem next turn on this guy, and all of a sudden everybody is, you know, AP -6. And you get AP.
And you get AP. So, you get AP.
All really cool. So I'm actually super I've always been kind of tempted to play NIDs, but these really are pretty cool. Oh, I know, I forgot one. Symbiotic Devastation, 1 CP. Select an exocrine unit. They are treated as having not moved in your moving phase, so they can move and shoot without penalty. Look out, folks. Yeah, finally. It's one of those things you're like, yay. Really? Now you see that now, you're like, yes, now I can do something. So, very excited for all things NIDS. Again, so much coming out right now, and it's such a interesting time because we're in such a lull with the holidays for big events. Are we ever going to see these before the championships in Vegas? So, we're going to take a quick break, talk about the last week's events, and then round out the show. Be back right after this. Hey there, Eric from the Exterminatus Podcast, and I'm talking to all you tournament organizers out there. Do you have an event coming up? Now, naturally, we talk about all those GT and major level events coming up throughout the week to week, but we usually do it after the fact. If you want to talk about your event ahead of time to get some more people to come to your event, this is your opportunity. We are opening up our ad space for some lucky TOs to, you know, let us know about your event. Give us a minute to talk about what makes your event special and glow about your event, so drive some like-minded competitive 40K players to your particular area. Hit us up on our Facebook page for more details, and we'd love to support your local community. So here our way of giving back to tournament organizers throughout the world. Only your friends here at the Exterminatus Podcast. Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, from drinks to dessert, and use a unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. Welcome back after the break. Two events to talk about from this past weekend. The first one is called Burn Carrick Burn. I'd love to tell you where it is, but I need to buy a vowel. I have no idea where this is. Hatrik Kerov?
Definitely.
No idea. Somewhere in the Eastern Bloc.
In first and fifth place, we had David Dostal playing Imperium. We had a three-way tie for second. Peter Horak playing Iron Hands. Jiri Tesner playing Orcs. And Martin Kudlasek playing Chaos Demons. And in first place, we had Pavel Lenko playing Imperium.
You can tell they're doing a battle point tournament because Pavel actually went 4-1, but got 87 points. Whereas Martin Kudelak went undefeated, but he only got 79 points. And he's tied with two other guys who had a tie and another guy that looks like two guys that tie. And then right behind them is David Dostal with two losses, but still is able to rack up enough points, 68 points, to land in fifth place. So the zaniness of a battle point tournament. So your winning list looks something like this. It is a start off with a battalion of Astra Militarum. So he's got the Assassin du Jour stratagem already in place. He's going to play Cadians. He's got two company commanders. He's got three infantry squads. He's got three heavy weapon squads, all mortars. Then he rocks a Blood Angels battalion with a looks like Smash Captain. Sorry, two Smash Captains and a Librarian Dreadnought, three units of five scouts, and rounds that out. And then finally, a Spearhead of Adeptus Custodes, featuring Captain General Trajan Valoris, along with a Vlexus Praetor, and three Caladius Grav Tanks. Interesting, that's still holding up in that meta at this point. So, because that's a list that was like a who's who of what we did in the summer. I'm not sure, curious to see how that would stand up with the new Iron Hands dominated Marine meta. Interesting. So we leave Eastern Bloc, Europe. Where are we going to next?
The Arcs of Fire.
Dun, dun, dun. Halifax, Nova Scotia. We're our top five there.
In fifth place, Brian Strongman playing Mainarch Necrons. Fourth, Christopher.
You got to explain that to me. Who are the Mainarchs?
So the Mainarch is the Necron dynasty that appears in Forge World book, The Fall of Orpheus. They don't have any special rules for the dynasty, but they do have two special characters. One is a Cryptek, and the other is a Necron Overlord. I could not tell you any of the special rules off the top of my head, though. And I do not have that index.
Yeah, they're hard to find. And it's Kutlak the World Killer was one of the ones he took. Let's see if I can get some more information on that while you're looking at the rest. And interesting, he took Minok Dynastico Translocation Beamers, which is actually out of the codex. Okay. I remember fiction-wise, these are the ones that have like all the flayed ones, right? They're all like
pretty much gone crazy. Yeah, they were the ones that they were like, the whole idea was that everybody was slowly becoming the flayed ones. So,
all right. Sorry about that. All right, what else we have?
Fourth place was Christopher Burgart playing Chaos. Third was Nathan Chow playing Astartes. Second, Leonardus McEachern playing Tau Empire. And in first, Ben Peltzer playing Assyriani.
Pretty cool. I'm doing my best to look up this. Where are we, Mainarch? There we go. Let's see if I can. There we go. So they indeed have two characters, Kultok the World Killer and Tolholk the Blinded. Sound like characters from Vikings than Necrons, but anyway. Kultok the World Killer, he comes in at a cool 200 points. It's a character, obviously, and counts as an overlord. He has a living metal as well, Death Incarnate. My will be done. A phase shifter, a phylactery, and splinter of madness. He's also armed with the Staff of Light and the Obsidiax. So, for those of you who don't know what those things do, my will be done is the old, you pick a unit near you and you add one to advance rolls, charge rolls, hidden to hit rolls. So, that's pretty much the same. Phase shifter gives them a 4-up invul. The phylactery allows them to heal D3 lost wounds instead of one from the living metal ability. And splinter of madness. If Kultok's leadership character is higher than the leadership characteristic of the target of any hit rolls made for him in the fight phase, he may re-roll his two hit rolls. And they do actually have a dynastic code. It's called Aggressively Territorial. They may reroll hits of one for units with this code whenever they shoot, including when firing Overwatch, as long as they did not move in the preceding movement phase.
Okay.
Wait a minute. That's somebody else. And then his base stats, 5-inch move, weapon skill 2, ballistic skill 2, strength 5, toughness 5, 6 wounds, 3 attacks, leadership 10, 2 up saves, so pretty much your basic overlord stat line. And the Obsidiax, which we mentioned over, is his main weapon. It's a melee weapon, strength user, so in this case, strength 5. AP minus 3, D3 damage. Not too shabby. Now, his sidekick, Cryptic, is Tolholk the Blinded. He's got the Chronometron, Eternal Engines, Predictive Strategist. He's also the Technomancer, so he's really good at putting old guys back together. So the Chronometron, in case you're not familiar with that, infantry units from main arc within 3 inches of this unit get a 5-up invulnerable save to shooting attacks. I forgot to mention Death Incarnate. Sorry, guys. If he's your warlord, infantry units within 12 inches may still charge in the turn that they advanced. Okay, that was important. I should have talked about that more. That could be important. I would use that more with Lich Guard than I would have Flayed Ones, but I know the fluffy thing is to use Flayed Ones. Or the, whatchamacallits, Praetorians, which went down way in points. Oh my gosh. So Eternal Engines, we're back to the Cryptic guy. At the start of the first battle round, choose a friendly vehicle within 6 inches of this model. That chosen model regains D3 lost wounds at the beginning of your turn rather than one. That's not too shabby. Predictive Strategist, you may reroll attempts to seize the initiative. You can tell it's a Forgeworld character. That stuff doesn't exist anymore. And of course, being a Technomancer, add one to reanimation protocols. And he's carting around an Aeon Staff, which is a melee weapon. Strength user, which is only strength 4. AP minus 1, 2 damage. Any unit that suffers an unsaved wound from this weapon may not advance until the end of next turn. So throwback to the old Bat Ward codex. So there you go. If you're not familiar with the main arcs, there you go. So meanwhile, he came in 5th. Let's talk about Ben Pelzer's list. He played a Suriani. And his first place list looks something like this. Starts with an Ulathay battalion featuring Eldred and a Warlock. And 2 units of Dire Avengers, bare minimum of 5. And then a large Guardian blob of 20 with 2 Guardian heavy weapon platforms in the form of Shuriken cannons. And he's got 2 Wave Serpents to keep everybody safe. Then he also has a Latok spearhead featuring Autok Skyrunner with all kinds of index options, including a Banshee Mask and a Laser Lance. Well, I can't wait for that stuff to go away. We haven't got, remind me, I got to talk about that real quick. In the troop slot, he's got a Rangers and then 1 unit of 7 Dark Reapers and 2 Night Spinners, both with Crystal Targeting Matrix. Interesting. And then last but not least, a Flyer Detachment, also a Latok, featuring not one, but 2 Crimson Hunter Exarchs, went up significantly in points since chapter approved, and a Hemlock Wraithfighter. So I have to say, I got a couple criticisms for his list. I don't understand Crystal Targeting Matrix on the Night Spinner, because the Night Spinner, you want to sit it in the back corner and use indirect fire. The Crystal Targeting Matrix allows you to move and shoot without penalty as long as you target the closest model. So if you're targeting the closest model, why were you using indirect fire to be?
Because I think the first thing that comes to mind with that is some people will have the closest model not be in line of sight, but I don't know.
I guess. Yeah, you know, you're right. If they have the Nova L's, you know, they're at board center and he can't see them. That's possible. I don't know. I would have gone with Spirit Stones just to keep my Night Spinners alive. Just my thought. Hey, he won the tournament. What do I know? But interesting stuff. Yeah, a lot of index choices. And that was announced, by the way, those of you keeping track at home for here at the in States ITC will honor index choices through LVO, but the start of the 2020 season. And no better place to start it than the Scorched Earth Open, March 21st and 22nd. Tickets available now at the Arizona Game Fair.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Anyway, all your index choices will be null and void after LVO. So this will be, they'll honor it for the rest of the season. But after that, if you're using an index list that's not in your codex, it will no longer be able to use in competitive play, which we all knew that was coming, but it's finally been announced.
I guess this is a good point, a good time to point out that Blood Angels got to keep one of their index choices.
Which one was that?
Jump pack. The Sanguinary Priests with the jump packs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I guess they're in Blood of All.
That's kind of cool. All right. So there's your tournament coverage for this week. While we're at it, let's get right into it. I see standings as they speak now. None of the top players that we talked about were active this past weekend. So your top 10 is pretty much unchanged from last week. 10th place, Nick Sutherland. 9th place, Brian Poulin. 8th place, Chris Blackham. 7th place, TJ Lanigan. 6th place, Manny Chima. 5th place, John Lennon. 4th place, Nick Nanavati. 3rd place, Nicholas Rose. 2nd place, Richard Siegler. And 1st place, the Canadian Conqueror remains in the top spot, Jim Vessel. Ray, what events we got coming up next week?
All right. Next week, we've got, well, I think one of the bigger ones is the $10,000 Pro Tabletop Atlanta Open powered by Skillshot. That is.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this event. I think this is going to be one of those watershed moments. I think a lot of people are picking them apart for, you know, some growing pains when it comes to running a big tournament. But I'm really curious to see what these guys with all their esports background, what it's going to look like from a streaming standpoint.
Yeah, so. I'm really curious myself. That's at Access Replay in Atlanta, Georgia. There is the Afghan Super Pro Barnyard Brawl 2.0 in Kabul.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of surprising. There is the GOW 8 in Vespalands. The Dice Hammer Warhammer 40k GT3 at Forest Lanes in Lake Forest, California. The Mary Slaneshmas 2019 at the Ocean Shores Convention Center in Ocean Shores, Washington. The Rudder Grand Tournament at Game Grid in Lehi, Utah. The Maelstrom Massacre GT at Maelstrom Hobbies and Games in Hampstead, North Carolina. Imps Xmas 40K ITC GT at Imps Gaming in Lincoln, England. The LWG presents Bad Moon GT Series Final at the Bad Moon Cafe in England. That's it.
It's a pretty robust list for this, you know, late in the season. That's pretty exciting. So a lot of events around the world. But again, all eyes, I think this will be this weekend here locally, at least in the United States, will be in Atlanta, Georgia, to see how this event unfolds.
Definitely.
So as we get more breaking news during the week, of course, we'll post it on our Facebook page. Take a look there. In the meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.